meeting today is a joint meeting of finance and they needed a call on that side, so we had to split members into 5-5. But since we still experience the challenge of paying a policy. But this meeting does not necessarily require a call, and some of the members will join us, so I will need all this today to consider the meetings that are here. We circulated an invitation of comments from the public via the media as well as some organizations. And we also specifically invited the father, the communication board, and the FSC, giving your presence in this party. So you can get your thoughts on the position of the FSC. So, by 12 o'clock after the evening, we the end. Presentation or any session by any of the members of the public or institutions that were in terms of their comments. And I will only have those comments from those that we share the
thank you, Chairperson, and honourable members are here. This is probably maybe the first time that the board submit for you, so there's a very great chance that whatever we may have put in here may get a tangent. Maybe let me apologise in advance if that happens to be the case. But essentially, for the board, we thought it would be useful for us to actually brief this select committee and possibly highlight possible implications, financial implications of the process that the board has just completed. Mm-hmm. We haven't really spelled out this in much more specific terms in terms of what it would really imply. But we have actually put before you what we believe are key major decisions that we have actually made, and this really relates to the decision of the board to combine or merge different municipalities. Particularly the province that are actually affected is really Gauteng and KZN. I'll start with Gauteng and I'll actually maybe go on to actually highlight the implications in which we would like to deposit that into the committee. In Gauteng, we have merged the municipality of the local municipality of Randfontein and Western Area, and the two municipalities are going to form one category B local municipality with effect from 2016, and then the other decision we have made was to amalgamate three municipalities involving the two local municipalities of Mfuleni, Midval, as well as the Sedibeng district municipalities, and recategorize the combined entity into a metropolitan municipality. That would then form the fourth metropolitan municipality in Gauteng and the ninth in the country. And then the other major areas that we have actually made was, maybe I should stay with Gauteng as well, was that in the process of merging the three municipalities. As you know, the said event was composed of three municipalities, which was Midval, Mfuleni, as well as Lesedi. We have then incorporated Lesedi into the jurisdiction of Eguruleni Metropolitan Municipality, so which would expand the landmass of Eguruleni quite tremendously with the addition of Lesedi in their jurisdiction. And that concludes the province of Gauteng. Then in the KZN, we had combined at least seven sets of the municipalities, and that they are listed here, which is merging the big five for Stay municipality with Rabisa, Ezimuleni with Hibiscus Coast, Imbabazane with Mchezi, Indaga with Umnambiti or Ladysmith, and there are certain portions of Umsinga local municipality that has been incorporated into Umvoti within the Umzinyati district. We have then also combined Kwashani local municipality with actually Ingwe, and in that terms, and we had actually then incorporated what remains of Bulamehlo to Umdoni, and merged Ntambanana and Umthonjeni in KZN. The net effect of this is that KZN would have about less seven municipalities as opposed to the currently, that there's about in total close to 61 municipalities, one metro, and I think there's 10 districts and 59 of the local municipalities. So that would be, that would then be be reduced by about 7. So which basically means, I think, totally in the whole country, come 2016, and barring obviously legal challenges, we would have a situation whereby we would have enacted a total of 11 less municipalities than we actually have now currently. Why we actually believe that some of these restructures would be beneficial in the medium to long term due to efficiency gains that we believe will be realized, and then they would actually be able to improve the municipality's ability to execute their constitutional obligation. But we know for a fact that for that to be achieved, there would be need to actually ensure that these municipalities are enabled to function from day one. And herein lies, I think, the relevance of our submission here is that, particularly in the case of the, for instance, of the metros, we do believe that while the period before that takes effect is 2016, there definitely would be a need to start the process of restructuring and actually ensuring that these day one measures, as we call them, are actually put in place, come the whole period. And that has been also one of the views and the advice, the views from the from the Minister of Agriculture when they responded in terms of our Section 4, Subsection 2 letter. They actually said, I think perhaps now it's time that we pay attention to steps that must be put in place to ensure that these measures work and indeed do realize the kind of gains out of it. And you'll see that even within the Demolition Act, there is also a provision that when the board makes this decision, it should also take into account the consequences of that. And one of the things that, for instance, are specifically listed there is the issue of the of the handling of the transfer of staff and the merging of the system between the municipalities that have been done, the issue of actually ensuring that the transfer of asset liabilities, rights and obligation is actually seamless. Last but not least, ensuring that the harmonization of bylaws and actual tariffs are being done. Now, our view, and certainly, is that there may be a need to assist the municipalities to actually do that. I'm not quite so sure, for instance, in terms of various transfers and grants in this respect, but I think this is something that we thought maybe committee would like to pay attention to, and we are quite prepared to give as much details as we can in terms of our estimation, but I thought it would be prudent for us to start letting the committee as to what is likely to happen in the current municipal space if we will come to 2016. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fango. Honourable members, that is the presentation from the Democratic Board. So, if any questions for clarity? I pick up a point that the effectiveness of this demarcation might vary from between next year and 2061, depending on whatever challenge that might be there. Others, like
yeah, in actual fact, legally, minor changes like the correction of the boundary of an anomaly, that would take effect at the day that would be determined by the MEC and the National Treasury. but those are the minor changes. But the major changes, for instance, that changes entirely the municipality, that would have to wait up until 2016 at the date of the local government elections. But our view is that I think the time is it's now that there should actually be processes that are put in place to actually ensure that it happens. And I'm told that it needs money.
You're welcome in drawing up the communications, do you make recommendations to Treasure to cover the costs of the administration and service provision? Because I want to believe that when you demarcate, you are informed by certain conditions which apply in municipalities which are not necessarily there, and you wish to club them together with those that are resources.
So the problem we had is that every result of the demarcation, the Gauteng did not receive any funding from the treasury. And twice Gauteng had to pay out its money with respect to those outside. So my question is, do you make recommendations to treasury based on the absorption of the municipalities?
Yeah, thanks. Let me start with the first question. Indeed, there is clearly, maybe perhaps with the benefit of having this current arrangement for the last 12 years, there is indeed signs that in certain municipalities, possibly even with the best intentions and probably the motto that you could put to them, there is absolutely very little chance that they could actually be self-sustaining. And indeed, that's a picture that I would imagine would happen, you know, in most of the country. My answer really would be, I think it's also a question of one is firstly more guided by the priority, and particularly where proposals of that nature come from province itself. It helps, you know, as a board, that if we get proposals from the provinces, what you actually have there is more of, if you like, guaranteed political sponsorship of the process. The board has restrained to really take their own initiative and actually restructure these municipalities, unilaterally. So it's more a question of priorities and resources more than either issue or principle. In Free State in particular, maybe one thing that I haven't mentioned, and I think probably maybe with a much more detailed submission of this, we can do that. I think we've omitted it here. There has indeed been also an expansion of the current Mangaung Metro to actually incorporate areas in what is called Sofano, Masilo, and other municipality nearby. I know, for instance, that in the Northern Cape, when we were addressing the Saga National Assembly, they did mention the fact that they actually would have liked to seen a rationalization of certain municipalities as well then. I can also mention that in Limpopo, we also had an earlier proposal that actually involved again, rationalizing the current municipalities there from currently, the currently 25. I think there was a proposal to reduce them to 21. So these are, in my view, as a board, are things that we believe can as well be done. It's just that it would be maybe unwise for the board to take all this thing at one go, at first wave. We could just almost put the country into a restructuring mode, and that in itself may not be manageable itself. But it's got nothing to do with it is out of principle. I think it's more a question of sequencing as well as the practicality. And I'm sure that going forward, the network might like to to look at some other areas. But I must mention that obviously the consideration for us is a structural one. One of the things that we are pains to actually explain is that demarcation may not necessarily solve problems. And I think when we talk about viability, we must be very careful as well. Sometimes big may not necessarily be better. In fact, one of the board members will say that big may just need to make the problem bigger. There may be other interventions, that need to be made. But indeed, there are other, as far as I know, like in the Northern Cape that has been done. We have been specifically notified of an intention to actually, rationalize municipalities there. The issue of Swan and the issue of national treasury, let me again say, in honorable moments, we the key consideration in Tuane, they lay in 2011, we combined Tuane with Metseding district, which was composed of Nothen Sateima and then as well as the Kumwini, and the, yeah, and the part of it, yeah. And again, it was more in terms of really confirming the reality of the economy of that area. These are people that were actually, for all intents and purposes, were one economy. They were working in Tuane, they were spending in actual Tuane, and they quite rationally you would expect that people should equally benefit, you know, from the services where they work, play, and actually spend, you know. So this is all in line with the issue of basically, you know, one city, one economic base, and everybody equally, you know, benefiting to it. That is an upside. Indeed, there is a downside, and this is something that's precisely, I appreciate this opportunity that I present, because I don't think in the past it has been handled in structure. This is the first time, as far as I know, that, you know, the board has been given an opportunity to alert a committee of this nature. The downside is obvious, is that as that happens, obviously, Tuane would have to equalize in the United States, and that affects other people differently. We have a situation where people now pay higher tariffs than they used to before, indeed, in some other areas, and the level of services has got to be brought into line with what is expected, you know, of the metro. Those are some of the financial implications that case is done. Have we committed that to Treasury? I think it has been. Treasury does sit in our powers on the structure and committee, but not maybe at the level and in a structured fashion, in a fashion as we want to do now. And certainly we would like to see this forum as a beginning of us, you know, making that. But I must say also that again, even that proposal was more coming from Gauteng as well, at least part of it, rather than, you know, initiated, you know, by the board. I don't know about that in the session. No, we do. Remember, there are basically three categories of people that can request the board to consider boundary changes or review. The first one is by the board itself. The board can take an initiative, and it has actually done so, particularly or not, we call technical adjustments. The other stakeholder that can, you know, request the board is the MEC of the Intendant Minister. The other category of people are the municipalities themselves. The board does things in most cases when the proposals, as you see them, have either been varied or reconfigured by the board to actually, you know, meet, you know, the whole criteria. So the current round has very special, arrangements, because by the time we open up boundary changes, we had almost over 500 proposals made to the board. By the time we had actually checked this proposal, it was well over 1,000. So it was a long answer, but the short answer is that the board does take initiative, and the proposals, as you see them, may have not been probably in the same way as, you know, put before the board. All I was just simply mentioning is that where we receive a proposal from any other quarter, we must give, you know, them the same kind of attention as we would get, you know, from other people. Thank you.
Mr. Madam, you see, with the merger of Ransom Inn and Western Mills, the Western area is a little small. And there are lots of indigenous and as you can well imagine, the Ann was currently taking place. So it was initially a mining town. Now the mine is extreme and it is right under the now we have Randfontein, which is relatively welcome. And it has the towns and it's thriving on farming as well. Now, bringing the two together into a green category municipality. I just want to be sure that there are proper recommendations which have been made, you know, to treasure. Because otherwise we are going to have a very big crisis. You know, because those are areas which are really not as viable as their neighbor towns like Johannesburg. So I'm not quite sure of the extent of the recommendations you have made to ensure that the two municipalities when they come together, they don't collapse. Because it's true that the Western area has collapsed. It's not viable. Yes.
I'm not sure if you want to change that question.
No, I was just simply said, I think the Honourable Member has just put, you know, the finger on it, actually. That was precisely what drove that. You know, obviously you can't say that, but it shows the correctness of the decision of the court. The Western area was, for all intents and purposes, extremely vulnerable as a municipality. And part of what drove that measure was precisely to actually ensure that you know, the two combined have got a much more better chance to actually to fulfill their obligation, unlike where they are in a separate. You are absolutely correct in terms of the highly reduced in revenue base of that, you know, it's quite a high employment. But you know, Randfontein in terms of the nearest neighbor principle, you know, presents the best option for which you have services there. Clearly the events that has happened now have almost overtaken. But that was the, you know, that was the whole spirit to say, unless we do something like this, you know, we don't see, you know, Western area, you know, continuing in any sense as a municipality, unless we have to manage with that. I hope they don't collapse both of them. I hope they don't collapse both of them. I don't think they should, in my view.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Maybe just to highlight, it's been pointed out as well, there's pros and cons with the restructuring. Some of the pros are long term, and some of the cons are short term. And there's various reasons why municipalities have financial difficulties, just type the entity said. And some of them have got nothing to do with the way the municipality is structured, but much more to do with the way they administer themselves. And when a municipality restructures, there's a number of things that happen. Firstly, what municipalities need to do, because they fund it out of own revenues, they fund it also through grants. Also that needs to be happened, and then the support that's needed for that. With regard to own revenues, and it's not always that the municipalities just get bad, and poor areas. They can also get poor areas, rich areas, and a mixture of that. For example, with the Sampa Tuani incorporation, some of the areas are actually areas where there's a revenue base, where people can pay for services, where they can pay for property rates. A lot of those cases, the charges actually levied by the former municipality was actually undercharged. So it was actually an additional revenue base for the municipality concerned. So So what is critical when a municipality actually acts on an area is actually to align its bylaws and actually get that environment with regard to the owner really. Then the second point is what happens to the grant. There's quite a lot that happens there. Every time there's a consolidation, obviously there's specific clauses brought into the Division of Revenue Law to actually allow for some transitional periods there as well. In case money is placed incorrectly within our municipalities, but we do our best to actually ensure that it happens. So the first thing that happens when there's a municipal redemarcation, SAT-SA works with the municipal demarcation board to exactly get a new boundary set. What then happens is that we amend the boundaries of the municipalities in terms of how we calculate the equitable share, both for the province concerned as well as the municipality concerned. So for example, if a municipality incorporates quite a number of key areas, the municipality that formerly that area will forfeit the money, and the new municipalities that are responsible for the area will gain those additional revenues. So you would see that a municipality that expands with a larger poverty base will also receive a financial injection in terms of the equitable share. Secondly, the conditional grants also get amended. Again, that is where it gets slightly more complicated because sometimes it's project based and the one project is implemented by the former municipality is halfway. So there's some arrangements that then whoever decides to finish the project. And it's what we call a Section 78 process in terms of the Municipal Assistance Act, that actually requires them also then to actually ensure that they do all the steps, transfer all the assets, transfer all the stock and the like. So those are the, with regard to the financing system, but very, very important, and that point has been made, the support that's given to the municipalities of critical interest. And it's not just National Treasury, it's DFAT, it's SOLDO, it's a whole bunch of support. That we actually assist the municipalities with these processes, because it's really, it's quite complicated if you haven't done it before. And actually assist the municipalities, we can give support to the municipality to actually assist them with their budget process, you know. The problem is because the government can assist with the structures issues, the self-transfer issues, and the government issues related to that. And SOLDO, of course, also plays a critical role in that regard. And that's why it's very important that we know this information well in advance. Because again, like correctly the municipal demarcation board says, you should start planning now and already start involving the municipality now. And some of these changes are actually very positive. For example, particularly in 510, it's often very difficult to draw that economic base boundary. And some of the smaller municipalities can now actually benefit from the larger municipalities with more capacity and the like. But it is that interim period from the short term to the medium term that's critical.
Thank you very much. I think maybe at some point we will never be the last because you the interesting topic around me. I'm considering that at some point you need to call the location what back and helicopter to talk about some of these things because there are a number of things that can also want to do. But I wanted as well to just focus on the actual rules of the
trying to find out about Kulosho and Rolico, whether they could not have been talked together just to call the nature. No.
You have
Rolico, you have Kulosho, and these two from the front campaign. And
love your problem.
It would have made a lot of sense because the latter two were broken down. are quite strong and very constructive. But the other two are limited. So we all they need probably is prayer. You know, that they will be able to survive. Because their neighbors are quite strong.
Well, thanks, I wouldn't allow you to answer that one.
Yeah.
And let us go. Otherwise, you'll be crucified out of the conversation. But, honorable, you should be able to take time to make that conversation. Let's take time.
Thank you very much. So our comments, obviously, were, so I'm not going to go through them word by word, I'll just talk into them basically. I think, firstly, that Salga acknowledges the both national and global economic conditions under which the Indian adjustment is presented. The minister makes, I think, the undertone, the cutting dominant theme of the the framework was the need for government to optimize its resources, and I think that's a matter that particularly impacts on local government and the ability of municipalities to focus better on funding productive investments that help us grow our economy, including new infrastructure for economic growth. We're noting that the adjustment budget allocates an additional almost 300 million to local government, and that's welcome. The point I do want to emphasize here is that this is dealing with the horizontal division of revenue. Inherent in the discussion around the demarcation, I suspect, is an issue of the vertical division of revenue. But the Choga board makes an important point. It's not only the spatial configuration of municipalities that determine their functionality. And if we continue to consolidate, we might end up with seven municipalities in the country which are viable, and then the rest of the country is not viable. So that begins to raise an important question around the vertical division. Some municipalities must exist because local government must be closer to people. But they can't be financially sustainable without really looking at the, how they get funded. And I'm saying that's a discussion, probably not for this matter, but I'm just putting it as part of the bigger debate on the vertical division of government. I think we'll also welcome an opportunity, Chair, to be part of the discussion with the demarcation board on the impact of trade demarcation. And I suspect that, I'm just going to make a principal point without getting into too much detail, because the risk, of course, that I come from Swan and I might be very emotional about that way as well. The principal point I want to make is that I think the approach has been very antidotal. So we suggestive about what the financial implication is going to be. And these costs are real costs. I mean, I can tell you that the net cost was something out of 1.5 billion. So it may warrant as part of the process towards 2016 that an institution like the FSC, for instance, is able to drill into what the more accurate impact of the demarcation or the demarcation here, so that we are able to respond in a more empirical fashion to how we handle the transition. I leave it there, and I hope that at the point, perhaps when the committee engages with the demarcation board further, we can also be afforded the opportunity to unpack that in much greater detail. The proposed amendments to the medium-term baseline allocation are noted. We know that the Local Government Act will share allocation is important and the focus on infrastructure, particularly to vulnerable communities and to access economic opportunities is critical. So that's welcome. The framework proposes a 9% annual average growth over the next medium term. That's obviously welcomed. There's a point, however, that on the equitable share, particularly the component that deals with the basic services component, there needs to be a relativity between the basic services component and the cost increases of the utility costs, so the impact of electricity and water costs on the overall cost component of providing those basic services. For example, that needs to be looked at. And then, of course, on the new formula, we have been part of the process of redefining the formula, and we've noted the phasing in of the formula. There are three issues we want to highlight. The first one is the point I just made, the baseline should be investigated going forward, as the cost of services to the poor has increased substantially over a period of time. And that is primarily a result of the increases of electricity and water. And then, the South African Cities Network report on the State of Finances 2013 made the observation that the cost package of services consumed by low-income households in the metro increased. And increased substantially over and above their monthly income, which progressively increases the risk of financial support. Now what this means is that if you look at a typical urban environment, you've had an increased phenomena of inward migration into the urban areas, so there's an increased burden that the urban centers carry. But over and above the increase in quantum, in number, there's an increase in the actual cost of providing the three basic services component to this community. So it's almost a compounded effect of urbanization and above cost of inflation increases on services cost, or provision of infrastructure. And then of course the point we make obviously is that the lowering rates of increases in electricity and water will assist to contain the cost. And of course that's a submission we will continue to make through NERSA for electricity and water. Further notes the additional funding through the adjustment budget, which is aimed at the disaster relief capital project commitments through MIG and the RBGIG, the Regional Bulk Infrastructure Grant, and also the continuation of the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant. These are important grants because these deal not just with the consumption expenditure. These are expenditure items that help us, in fact, create the basis for growing the economy. So they're important and they need to be continued. Then there's also an important focus on the expenditure framework on the integrated city development. Now there are two elements here. First is that there needs to be, and perhaps not a treasury function per se, probably COPTA, but I think the NCOK has an important role to play around the integration of government programs. So municipalities are required by law to produce integrated development plans. But they can't be integrated only as they relate to the services offering of local government. They need to be integrated to the extent that they integrate both provincial and national investments into local communities. So that's one area of... and then the second is a bigger question. I think one we raised in the budget submission that relates to how we're dealing with the 8 metros for now, the possibility of the 9th and about 10 or so bigger cities. These cities account for something in the order of 65% of the economic output in the country. And if there's no conscious effort to ensure that, obviously there's the internal, how they manage themselves, given their own powers and so on, the revenue raising capacity, but how at the national level the fiscal is able to ensure that we're growing the economies in this area. So if we constrain those economies, we're constraining national growth. That's essentially the point. And then the additional allocation to the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency over the medium term period will indeed help fill the gap in the ability of municipalities to plan and execute, and particularly of course in the smaller municipalities. Then there's an issue that we're raising around the underfunded mandates. I guess this is something that will be a feature of life to come for a short period of time. Now this is not always, just not a financial issue. Part of the problem is when there's an assignment of function from a province or a national department to a local authority, there's often no service level agreement. So just to give you the case of emergency services, the province says that we are giving to municipality X 100 million to run ambulance service. And that translates into 20 ambulances in a municipal area. But if you take the demand for services, if you take a ratio of how many ambulances per population, you find that in that municipality, you, for argument's sake, need 40 ambulances if you comply with that formula. But the province says, if you fund over and above the 20 that we fund, we are not underfunding. You are over-providing for the service. So the point there is that if we don't determine a service level agreement that we all agree to, so this is the level at which we're providing the service, this is the cost at which that service comes, and then we are able to determine the cost of providing the service. So the determination of the service level agreements is important. The national norms and standards, I mean, some services have, others don't. Where they don't, there's obviously a need to develop those. And then obviously there's an issue about when and how the funds get transferred, the correlation between national and local government financial years. And sometimes it comes after we close our financial year, and that means that the service would have been unfunded, at least for that period, and then it needs to be collected in the following year. The FFC, importantly, their submission for the 2012-30 Division of Revenue estimated the extent of underfunded mandates only in the metros, something in the order of 4 billion rand per annum. So this is the extent to which underfunded or unfunded mandates is impacting on local government. And then, of course, there's a positive improvement on the library funding, and it's a model, I think, that we would urge that gets replicated across all provincially assigned companies. And then the point we're making here is that SAGA, both the SAGA and Treasury, probably talked as well, needs to collaborate to develop an alternative mechanism to enhance revenue collection in municipalities. One of the things we had raised with the FFC recently is the idea that we create a national collection agency that helps municipalities collect, like we have started a collection agency for your national tax revenue system. You need some kind of capacity to help municipalities collect. Because either they don't collect because there's no capacity, or they employ the services of commercial collection agencies, which obviously come at a very high cost. And then the point I'm making, just before a set of recommendations, is the national government must review its local government support and capacity building initiative to ensure creation of strong municipalities. I think the one point here is the issue around the plethora of support that Treasury, COCTA, SALGA, a whole range of stakeholders are providing. But there's no central point of coordination. So there's a lot of effort, but the impact or the outcome and impact of that effort is not felt properly. And that's why the other outcomes continue to reflect poorly as they do. So the simple point is not to undermine the effort that the various role players are engaged with, but there needs to be a central point of coordination so that we're sure that we are able to hit the right targets with the necessary kind of impact to ensure that we stabilize the local context. And then just to conclude, Chairperson, the SAGA acknowledges the tight fiscal stance and that the national and global economic challenges, and that will continue to impress upon its members to seek value for money in the operational and increase investments in productive infrastructure, and the SAGA finally acknowledges the review of the local government fiscal framework and will continue to participate in the current focus on the local government infrastructure plans. So that is the submission to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Miller. I just want to find out the work of this thing was unfunded and underfunded for anything, because it's been coming up in the situation. I just want to, for my benefit, how does it happen? The provinces or whatever, the nations that impose these things of at a mere suggestion of this service being given to the service has lately accept this opportunity into the implications of the democratic implications. Because I would imagine municipalities would have options of either accepting the principles of the community of the people based on the effectance around funding. But in most instances it is like, when the things are presented, it's like, is that everybody just went and said, from now on, this is what I think, and be gone. How does it happen in practical?
Well, Chair, I'll suggest to you it's a hybrid.
Jim, you've made a very valid point, and my point was that Shulgin actually is suggesting a symptom and not a problem. And the problem, as we rightly point out, is that the mandates are taken on board when they should not be. It's not a question of them being unfunded or underfunded. It's a question of the initial mandate. It's not a municipal mandate. The municipality has simply said, it's not my mandate. Carry on. And so I'm concerned that Selga is addressing the symptoms rather than the cause. Selga should be addressing the cause and not the
symptoms. I think it's both yourself and the honourable member are raising an important point, and I think it's a discussion that we have taken up in the municipality. The problem lies here, that one, firstly, these are often, if you take the more common ones, your library services, your emergency services, health, or ambulance services, they are historic functions. I mean, that have come even pre-1994. They've been undertaken in local government over a period of time, either concurrent functions or through agency arrangements and executed by local government. Now, the issue is that if local government ceases to undertake this function, they have massive implications for the communities that ought to be serviced by this service. Now, you know, our system of intergovernmental relationship provides that there needs to be a cordial way in which spheres of government interact in the discharge of their respective duties. I think we would be, we're nearing the point, I suspect, where SALGA will advise member municipalities that terminate the service, not your service, hand it back to the relevant department and get out of it. But we then do leave the totality of government with a bigger problem. And then that is the discharge of the respective service. So, yes, I mean, the obvious way of dealing with it is to suggest hand it back. But whether the service gets done by local government or the respective line department or provincial government response, the service has to be provided to a community. And that's why we're making the point that the development of service level agreements, the finalization of norms and standards, will go a long way in helping us understand exactly where the problem lies. Is the service being underfunded or are we providing for the service? But I think you both yourself and honourable member, they have raised an important discussion point, and it has been raised in fact in one discussion that have we not reached the point on this issue of unfunded mandates that the municipality simply stop providing them, hand them back to the relevant organ of state constitutionally disposed to that function. I hope I've
heard. But then, thanks based on that, they haven't answered on the first part. How does it happen? Before you reach the point where the municipality is to see, was it just coming to them or? Because sitting here, I've got the impression now that, as we have mentioned of a department saying we want to give you life rubbish and here's 50 million, they don't even want to check. The implication of that is that bring it, only when they have received it, they realize that, wow, we do something that we can't even sustain. And it becomes a challenge. That's why I'm asking, how does that happen?
No, well, look, I'm saying in some
instances... Whilst you see the contemplating advising those that have auditioned to hand them back, on the one hand, you see the many others still receive the same problem that you are trying to have.
Look, I mean, the one issue is that these are inherited services, so they are legacy, it's a legacy problem essentially, and much of it is, as I say, predates 1994. So if you look at ambulance services, if you look at library services, they predate. And yes, indeed, I mean, for a municipality to assume that function, it's a conscious decision of that municipality. So it's not like they were innocent. I suspect there was more proper due diligence about what the implication is, and they, we do now settle that problem. The second one is probably a legislative issue. If you take Arto, for instance, the administrative adjudication of road traffic offenses. Arto is brought about as a result of national legislation. But the impact of Arto on local government is a severe, it has an impact on the reduction of income out of well, if you can call traffic fines income, but it reduces the income from traffic fines. And secondly, it places or it absorbs a function which is meant to be with local government, traffic police, into the Road Traffic Management Corporation. Now, there you have a legislative requirement for this to happen in a particular way. And Salva has made the 17 submissions on the impact of Arto on local government. I do know that the full rollout of Arto hasn't been implemented, in part as a result of some of the challenges that have been raised. The principle I'm raising is, in some instances, they come about as a result of what legislation provides. If you look at the discussion around the assignment of the housing function to at least the metros, at least there is a very concerted effort to understand the full cost implication, so that the costs are compensated appropriately. So it's a combination, it's a duality of things, but I guess it's also not to absorb the fact that municipalities have consciously accepted this function.
On the revenue collection, you see, I don't think that using SARS as an example is good. SARS is efficient, and no one, well, in some cases, I get very angry with them, but generally they're very efficient. But they're dealing with a relatively few number of clients, really very few, compared with the volume that we talk about in municipalities, local governments, client base, which is I mean, one municipality will have more clients than SARS has nationally. So I don't think SARS is a good example to use to motivate for some kind of central debt collection agency. In fact, it might work against it, because I will argue that it's not an analogy that you can use at all. And Ms. Kevin, does SARS not honestly believe that this is a skills, competence, and political issue? That too often the debt collection is not robustly followed because of political motivation, and that also simply the people who are employed don't have what it takes to do it.
Look, I mean, the reference to SARS is, I guess, not... when we make the submission, it was not something that came out as a result of any amount of in-depth analysis of what this agency should do. The principle of SARS is that you have a much tighter legislation ability by this collection agency of the state to collect, and where there's default, there's a provision of an adequate set of recourse to the state to attach your salary, to force you to make 3 installments, and a whole range of things. But if you look at local governments, in some instances, the only mechanism you have is to cut sales. In some cases, it's an ESCOM supply area, and as well, we can cut. That's a matter that we raised separately around how we close that gap. Secondly, you have a set of socioeconomic conditions that, in the final analysis, we must live with the reality that there are those in our communities who simply not afford to pay for it. And no amount of effort to collect is going to yield the result. Granted, but then you have an ability to cross-subsidize through a national collection mechanism. And then, thirdly, the skills issue, I think, is a real issue. The sector, the country in general is besieged by a skills deficit. It's not something that's unique. It's more profound and more pronounced in local government, granted, but it's not unique to local government. And then the third thing, I mean, I guess it's a subjective matter whether there's a political influence. The point is that if you create a national collection agency which is devolved of the political administration, which is a municipality, then if indeed that problem is there, you're offsetting it, because you will have a national collection agency which is not bound by any amount of local politics there. So if that is the case, I guess, in a way, but the simple point we're making is not about whether it's something called SARS or anything. Is that you need to create a mechanism that creates a much stronger ability for local government to collect. And there's an obvious argument about the economic scale of creating a national agency. It might be national, it might be a regional agency. The modalities is something obviously that needs a great amount of work, and that's why we've raised it to the FFC, and I suspect it's something that the SALGA itself will probe into. The final architecture of what it looks like is obviously a function of what the research will suggest. The principle I want to suggest to you, remember, is that there is probably a strong argument to look at some kind of national agency that collects there's international precedent in France, for instance, local taxes are collected by a national agency, and then through their fiscal system is redirected to municipalities. Whether you want to go to that extreme, something in between, or live with our current system is what we're suggesting, at least needs to be investigated.
Maybe at some point give you time to work around the issue to share whatever talking and vision and setting up so that we engage in the process. I'll take it that every so many people have something that you want to do.
Yes.
Thinking about the next thing. I'm trying to imagine practically what we but as you are saying, perhaps some more research is sweet and
thank you
very much, Mr. Pillay. I think we feel fine. We'll have a short break, tea break, and Mr. Masango, actually, you are more than welcome to wait, or if you want to leave, you can.
Thank you. Thank you
very much.
What you're going to do is that we start to catch up. That's why I don't have to catch up.
There was a time when I would have said we were the good ones, but I can't even say that
now.
So the total.
Because I know some departments are open,
yeah.
And then businesses, and then your household.
Yeah, household. Yeah.
Because I know at some point it gets hard when Venus Karim was difficult to of corporate time. But in Parliament, we're trying to get some mechanisms for departments. But the way only now, yes, it's quite true. Maybe you can help me with the correct
resolution.
Okay. So where did this idea of having a resolution get some of that?
Look, I mean, it's a fairly new thing. That's why we're just presenting a concept.
Okay.
I mean, I think as we haven't even gone to, you know, there's a Saga National Members Assembly at the end of November. So it's something we'll also take to the National Members Assembly. But remember that the point is a number of things. One is that if you look at how much it costs for municipalities to set up collection and functioning in municipalities, the legal ability, some municipalities, so when you don't pay, we will cut your electricity. That's where we provide electricity. But in some instances, ESCOM provides the electricity, so we can't cut the electricity. So we just ask you to pay.
So your hands are tied, you can't do anything.
So part of what we hope we could do is obviate that problem. Of course, there's a discussion with ESCOM to say, to a service level, can ESCOM do the cut-off with people before the meeting? But the point I was making is that there's a strong argument that there are inherent cost efficiencies out of bringing in a collection function where you can draw economies of scale and provide a shared service. Whether it's a national collection agency, whether you push from as we have a collection agency, whether you have one, two, or four in the country, it's something that we want to help. But the point is that we think that maybe that's something that we can
say. Do you have an idea of how time?
Look. Very difficult. I would imagine nothing, at least not in the next 3 years. So I would suggest probably by 2016 when we go to the next local government election. We'll be far off. We just introduced the concept now. There needs to probably be some legislative amendments to introduce it, and then of course there's the phasing in period before we.
So you will need the legislation?
More than likely, yes. You will need the legislation.
Okay. Because it sounded something that I've not heard of before. It's quite new. So it's going to your National Assembly?
The National Assembly. Okay.
When is that? End of November, where? Was there not another member of assembly here in Cape Town about 2 weeks ago?
Was the provincial one?
Oh, okay. Do you know the venue?
For the national one?
Yes.
If you speak to Jonathan, we'll give you the communications.
Maybe then as a last point, get your colleague to help me. And you know what you number of people that are needed, and you provide them.
Nationally, I don't know if that figure is. It should be able to work it out because the local government sector is a share. So that is part of what we do is the local government sector is a share. So the grant that comes from national government, from the state, is reflected in the theme of the kind of conditions as well. So it's a grant that we provide in lieu of those communities of people. So we should be able to work out the national purpose of what it is. So we can I'll speak to our the social guys and the social
So you want the collection as a something to function like that,
So there you need to be able to become more cash, prioritize them. The first thing is can attach your salary, attach your bank. So that's like the first one.
No, thank you very much.
Councillor, how are you? All right. My card. Thank you. And I was hoping that you would send one from the wizard in which I might have been interested.
Yes, you may have.
Thank you.
Where are we now?
I was there, but I'm there. I was there.
Okay. What we had done in the past was overwhelming.
Northwest is actually not one that I take. We just have a special injection to the north to acknowledge it's going to happen. So on the 21, we don't contact you in that 1.9 billion. We actually asked the question. We worked here first and 1.9 billion.
At 8 o'clock, yes.
On Thursday, which
is? 31st October.
Okay. Thanks.
Committee room 2, later.
Okay. From 8 to 10. Yes, I need to check. Yes, I need to move forward. The Thanks.
I think there's a nice group that we are going to receive also from other members. So as soon as we get time, I will let it go.
Yeah. So because in fact, you see what we should do, an amendment where we try to achieve 310 units for
I was just apologizing, but Everybody has a very good idea.